Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Perigin and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Perigin, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. How are you, Jacob?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, both of our teams advanced. The weather is warming up. Life just keeps getting better and better, Jacob.
Does it now?
It does. Auburn baseball won a series. I know that's not what this is talking about. A road series, too, at that. I mean, can't complain right now if you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah, you know, life seems good for you. Not too bad over here either. You know, make it three straight Sweet 16 appearances for the Tide, so you can't be upset about that. If you win Thursday, got a potential tough draw on Saturday. I'm going to go for Arizona if Auburn wins. But beyond there, I don't really care. So, you know, it's been what people would consider. I know I've seen a lot of people say it's been a boring tournament, which I wouldn't say is true. I think it's been more than what's advertised for. Colorado State was one step away from making Sweet 16. You know, it's kind of been chalk from there a little bit. You had two 12 seeds upset in the round of 64. And then you got some good Ole Miss making as far as they did, making it to the Sweet 16. My Drake Bulldogs get upset, help me win a little cash. Appreciate that. But yeah, it's
Arkansas.
Been so far. Yeah.
Arkansas. Yeah. People talking about, you know, it hasn't been exciting. The games have been good, in my opinion. Just because the higher seed win does not mean they're not great games. Like Maryland, like you said, Colorado State. Maryland, Colorado State, great game. Absolutely a great game. Just because Colorado State didn't win does not negate the fact that that's an exciting March Madness game. That's what March is all about. You know, you got a three-pointer to go ahead on one side and with, like, 5 seconds left, and you turn around and make the game winner on the other side. Like, that is March. But, you know, just talking about from the conference as whole, I believe we have seven teams in the Sweet 16. Very impressive. I mean, I'm no mathematician over here, but that's close to 50%. That's pretty good right there.
If A&M wins, they're at 50%.
Dang, you know, just A&M, that Colts out there. But, you know, SEC, if the teams that lost bad for the most part, you know, Georgia 27-3 before down to Gonzaga to start the game. I mean, Mississippi State played it really close. Oklahoma, not as close. There was not as great game. But, you know, you had some teams. Vandy choked.
Yeah.
Vandy choked. I mean, you already mentioned Drake in Missouri. That was a fairly close game. I know you were sweating that one out just a little bit. You know, hating on the SEC. Couldn't be me. Couldn't be the co-host of this podcast right here. But I was pretty impressed with the way the round of 64 started.
Yeah. You know, can't be upset. Like you mentioned, the McNeese Clemson, that was a heck of a game. Almost blew your lead at the end. I know the hype around Purdue and High Point, everybody thought High Point had a chance. There was at one point that I thought they had a chance to do it. It was kind of later in the second half, but Creighton Louisville, I thought was a great game to start off March Madness. It was, you know, it was a hard one to pick. You know, I thought Louisville would have showed up a little bit more, but, you know, they didn't. And then I don't think the tech on Kelsey helped either. Let's see, all the one seeds looked dominant in the second half, at least.
Yeah, I mean, struggled the first half, yeah.
Alabama State looked good in the first half with Auburn. Thought they would hang around, but just kind of figured they'd wear them down. And then Houston just kind of ran away with theirs. It didn't even feel close.
Alabama and Robert Morse. It was a little bit of a sweat.
That game was never close.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was ever scared. Everybody had all the faith in the Tide. Nobody was ever scared about that one.
Is nobody Jacob Holman in this scenario?
I mean, I can't say that I never. I think the words "we're going to lose this game" may have come out of my mouth once, at least.
How many times was "it's over" come out of your mouth?
I think when many a times. I'll just say many times. I think maybe we would have been up. I don't even know if we ever got up by like more than five at one point in the first half. I don't remember because I just remember sweating bullets. But I think when they cut it to like a 5-point lead, I was like, it's over. It's over. Like, it's completely over. Write it down. Of course, we're going to get upset. But, you know, Robert Morris kept it close for a really, really long time. I do think Grant Nelson provided that spark off the bench, just coming in. And
do you think it might come down to a final possession if Grant doesn't play? because that seemed to be, I wasn't watching because I was actually writing a paper, but I had the game cast coming up right beside me so I could see each. But when Grant checked in, it seemed that the Tide started to pull away a little bit, started getting more rebounds, started to be a little more physical. So I'm almost wondering if Grant not playing, could it have went the other way?
Yeah,
I think, was Robert Morris up one when that happened? Or was it like maybe Bama was up two or three or something at that point?
It was definitely whenever, I think he went to the table whenever they took the lead. But it was also one of those things where a lot of Robert Morris's starters started committing fouls late in the game too. So I didn't really think that helped. That game was what it was. They were talking all the hype about, Robert Morris's players were talking about how Sears was just another guy. And, I think it was a guy that played AAU with him from Pinson Valley, Cam Woods, right?
Yeah, it was Cam Woods from Pinson. He was a two-time state player, and he went like 3 for 18. It was atrocious.
Yeah, so, that was, all the talk. And they, they hyped themselves up, and they have nothing to lose when they go out there. So you're going to get everybody's best shot, and I feel like we got the best shot and still found a way to win it, and that's what matters.
Let's see. Who else can we talk about this? I mean, we got to give Arkansas some props.
New Mexico,
yeah, but Petrino, not Petrino. Gosh, I did that the other night. Patino. And unfortunately for them, since they out their best player into the transfer portal today, so that was unfortunate for them. But they played it pretty good. They beat Marquette, nice little upset, and then they played. They had played Michigan State pretty close, and they were winning for, I almost say, the whole first half, maybe they close to the end of the second half. Michigan State was able to take the lead, but then that Michigan State, I was rooting for New Mexico when that happened. I can't say why I was rooting for New Mexico. It may be because of the draw that would happen on later kind of thing, but I was rooting for New Mexico when that happened. And hey, I don't know if you were able to watch because it was very late on Sunday, but Oregon-Arizona was a great game to close out the first weekend.
I was wondering how it came down at the end. I never saw who won until the next morning, but it's kind of, not going to be a bad take, but I don't really, if my team's not playing the late games, I kind of just go about the rest of my night. That's just me. But I, unless it's like a, unless it's the Elite Eight or something like that.
They're all the three folks in our viewing session are going to be calling you a casual after that take right there. But it was a great game. Honestly, it really was. With Arizona, with Tommy Lloyd and them, were making John Ronstein really, really proud. Really proud because they fouled up three late twice, two or three times, like 7 seconds left the clock, and they went ahead and fouled. They went ahead and fouled and trusted they were going to get the end ball in, which I am a huge fan of the let's foul up three late. John Ronson, big fan of that too. One of his three rules. But, some teams don't. Auburn hasn't done it in the past, and it has bit them a time or two. So hats off for Tommy Lloyd for being a good coach.
Yeah, and listening to John Ronson, he knows everything.
No, ball knower. All right, let's give Arkansas some more props, man. As much as I was on them to start the year, Coach Cal has got them playing well. I was wanting to see how Boogie Flan coming back affected Arkansas, and it didn't seem to mess with their chemistry at all. They seem to be right on top of it, and you got to be able to play well to beat the other Patino in St. John's kind of thing. So they're one of the most, honestly, they're one of the most talented teams that's still left, but they still are on a Cinderella run because of what their seed is, honestly. Yeah. So I expect, spoiler alert, I expect them to do some things this weekend.
Yeah. Tiro's available for 12 to 15 minutes against Tech. So we'll see what happens there. I think that one's going to be a really good game to watch. Texas Tech just has that experience of getting there. But, Coach Cal also has that experience of getting there, too. So it's going to be, not recently, though, but it'll be fun to see how they match up against Texas Tech and then potentially Florida. That one will be, I think that one may be where their run ends. But we'll have to see what happens.
Recapping last week, I guess we can do some records. It's harder to follow just because, the games don't always line up because we are wrong, unfortunately. But for the round of 64, me and Jacob both went a respectable 26-6. And that was with all our different picks. We came out even. So that was nice right there. For the round of 32, I did get two on them. Jacob went 9-7. I went 11-5. So our overall from the first weekend was 37-11, 35-13. So in the world that's craziness is March Madness, even though this is maybe chalk madness this year, that was pretty respectable.
Yeah. I thought could have been a thing where like two of my losses may have come where I had like a team beating somebody in the first round and then they lost in the second round, or you know, they didn't even make it to the second round, so I obviously got that one wrong.
So like, that was the case for like you had UNC beating Iowa State, but UNC didn't make it that far because Ole Miss beat them. And then that was the case for me. I had Missouri beating Texas Tech, but Drake was in that game, kind of thing.
Yeah, so just a couple like that. So can't be upset with going like that in the first weekend. I don't expect, but I think we're gonna go straight into the first games of the Sweet 16. So the first day of the Sweet 16 is Thursday, March 27th, and the first game of the day is the 6 seed BYU. They are 26-9 versus the 2 seed Alabama, who's 27-8. It's a 6:09 p.m. tip on CBS in the East Region in Newark, New Jersey, the big city. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Tide. I'm going to take the Tide right here. I'm going to support the SEC. I think they will be able to match up well versus BYU. You know, BYU did get a quote-unquote win versus Alabama earlier in the year in the recruiting when they got AJ, not even going to try and say his last name. But I think Bama is going to get their get back here. I just think Bama's going to be able to. Mark Sears, I saw a stat today, 3 for 35 from three in his last 3 or 4 games. And I just don't think that continues. I think Bama will be able to play pretty well. Although I have to admit, I wouldn't be upset if BYU got this one done.
Yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't. And that, you know, that's understandable. But a couple, I think I'm going to go with Alabama as well. A couple reasons is the starting center for BYU, their two centers are 6'6 and 6'8. So, you know, I think Nelson and Cliff will have an opportunity to just have a time.
Well, and yeah, I don't know if he missed one late, but Cliff hasn't missed a shot the tournament.
He missed a few down the stretch.
Down the stretch?
Yeah.
Because he started like 12 for 12. Now, granted, what was 10 of them or 11 of them were alley-oop dunks.
Yeah, and it's okay.
But, hey, points are points.
Yeah, I mean, that is literally O's offense is he wants shots at the rim. You can't get more at the rim than a dunk. And mm-hmm. Three-pointer. I mean, three-point free throws and shots at the rim. So talk about being efficient. But I think the two guys to look out for on the – perimeter are going to be Richie Saunders and Jaeger Dimon. I think those two are going to be I think Dimon's like a projected top 15 lottery pick, I think. So, you know, watch out for those two. But I think as far as the inside goes, I think Alabama will have the advantage in the paint with the forwards and the centers. So we'll see how that goes. I think Alabama's a 5.5-point favorite right now. So we'll have to see how that matches up with. And then next game is the 4 seed Maryland, who's 27-8 versus the one seed Florida, who's 32-4. It's a 6:39 p.m. tip on TBS, True TV, in the West Region of San Francisco. That's 6:39 Central Time, so that's 4:39 in San Francisco. So,
quick question, Jacob. What time zone is Central Time Zone?
I think you should answer.
It is God's time zone, the best time zone.
All right. I'm going to go Florida. I think regardless of if this was Colorado State or Maryland, I think I'd pick Florida to win it. I think the Crab 5 season ends.
Yeah, I'm going to take Florida as well. If you were able to watch Florida coming down the stretch, Walter Clayton, man, was legit. That little pull-up three-pointer kind of fading away. Player of the year worthy shots. Like, I mean, if Walter Clayton because, you know, he had a stretch beginning, like, middle, end of late non-con, and then middle of the tournament, SEC play, where he was not as hot. But then down the stretch, he has been absolutely balling right now, and I just think Maryland's not going to be able to stop him. Their guards, with Elijah Martin and Richard and all them, they're just legit. And I think Florida will continue and will have at least one SEC team. Well, right now, based off me and Jacob's picks, we'll have two SEC teams in the Elite Eight.
Dude, he's insane. It's the most nonchalant and just quick trigger that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he's just like, it's like he goes straight from a dribble into the pull-up. It's insane how fast it is. So I feel bad for if it's Arkansas or Texas Tech, if they're the team that since we have Florida advancing, whoever plays them, man, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, you know, something, and I might be wrong on this, but I'm not sure if he's being highly touted as a draft pick, is he? Is people looking?
Not to
any, let's. I'm trying to see if anybody has them in their things, and unless I'm missing it, I mean, they really don't, which is kind of crazy. And that's kind of been a trend, honestly. All right, there's Walter Clayton, 47th to the Wizards, right there in this mock draft right here.
To and the Wizards.
Yeah, so his career will go and die. But when you look at players that have been, I think you could say Walter Clayton's been dominant, especially of Reed. In college basketball recently, they haven't necessarily transitioned well to the NBA. And when you go back to the Gaza kid from Iowa, I think Luca Gaza or something like that from a few years ago. You got Drew Timmy from Gonzaga, who was in college basketball for 25 years, kind of thing. I mean, Janai Broome, in my opinion, I love Janai Broome. I just don't. He's not an NBA guy. Like he as good as he is right here in Utah. Like he is dominant in college basketball. He's not a. It's not going to transition. And I'm not sure Walter Clayton is going to be able to do the transition either. Which is, it's sad to see, but it just really points out the difference between the college game and the pro game.
Yeah, and it is different. I mean, this has nothing to do with college basketball, but you see the highlight last night. I think Bronny had 37 in the G League last night, but he's barely scoring when he comes in an NBA game. So it just shows you the difference of how it goes from even, I would say, college to G League, G League to pro. Uh-huh. Just the difference in styles, I think, just is what gets them.
All right, now we'll jump into the night games, quote unquote night games, because technically the first games were close to night games. But number 4 seed Arizona, 24-12 versus the 1 seed Duke, 33-3, 8:39 p.m. CBS. This is the East region in Newark. So the winner of this game will get the winner of the Bama BYU game. And let's see, Jacob, I'll let you do the honors. What are you going with?
I'm going to unfortunately pick Duke. I hope if Alabama wins, I hope it's Arizona. I would rather play Arizona, and that's no slight to them. I just don't want to. I don't want to see the man Cooper Flagg just run over my boys. But I think regardless, it'll be fun to watch. I feel like regardless, I think Duke's probably going to come out of the East regardless of if they play. If they're able to win this one, then I think the winner of BYU is who BYU Alabama is who Duke will obviously match it with. And I think they'll come out of it. And that's chalk. But I mean, I think they're one of the best, if not the best team in college basketball right now.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt that they're the most talented. I don't think there's any doubt that they're the most talented team in college basketball. I'm going to take Duke as well. You know, that we have a little bit of got a little bit of a storyline right here with Caleb Love, you know, from his UNC days, matching up with Duke right here. But I just don't think Arizona can beat them. I really don't. Now, if Caleb Love is vintage Caleb Love and he goes 25 for 32, shoots 11 threes, which he's liable to do, kind of thing. But he's also liable to go 3 for 25 and 0 for 17 from 3, kind of thing. I think it'll take their absolute best for Arizona to beat Duke. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they might have played earlier this year. I know
they played recently where Arizona went into Cameron and won. Was it this year or was it last year?
I want to say the return, maybe it was this year. Let's, you know, we got a lot. We know a lot about Arizona basketball.
Yeah.
They played, okay, yeah. So November 22nd, 2024, Duke went to Arizona and won 69-55. So last year, it must have been last year, if your memory is right, that Duke lost to Arizona. But I can remember this game, the 29-55 game, because after that, Arizona went on a little bit of a skid, and then they were finally able to right the ship. So, you know, Duke's already beat them once, so you got a lot of film, but I think Duke's a better team. All right, and then the final game for day one of the Sweet 16 is the 10 seed Arkansas, 22-13 versus the 3 seed Texas Tech, 27-8. It's 9:09 p.m. on TBS / True TV. It's the West region in San Francisco. I'm going to take Arkansas. I think the SEC team is going to have three winners on day one right here. And I don't have no reason behind it other than just I think Arkansas is playing really well right now. They're hot and they're really talented. So give me Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think it's going to be Arkansas. I think the Cinderella run continues. I just think they're playing really good together right now. You have one of the better coaches of basketball history to do it, to lead you that's been there, done that. And so Texas Tech has also been there and done that. So you know, but I think they're, you know, maybe a little banged up. So let's go with Arkansas, especially with Tiro having an opportunity to play some minutes this weekend if he's or that night if he's available. So it'll be fun to see what happens. I'm gonna go with the Hogs. All right, so going to day two of the Sweet 16, which is Friday, March 28th. The first game of the night is the 6-seed Ole Miss, who's 27-9, versus the 2-seed Michigan State, who's 29-6. It's a 6:09 p.m. tip on CBS. It's in Atlanta in the South region. I'm going to go Michigan State. I think Michigan State gets it done, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Ole Miss wins it. I'll say this. I think the teams that are here from the SEC are your top dogs. I think the only top dog that you're missing that was consistent all year, it felt like, was Missouri. A&M, you know, A&M too, but I felt like, you know, they were kind of like that all year, right? Just kind of here, you know, win a couple, lose a couple, ended up losing to Texas, and they were not day one of the tournament, but I think it was day two of the tournament, of the SEC tournament. So I'm going to go Michigan State to get it done versus Ole Miss.
Got two words for you. Tom Izzo. And that's all you really need to hear. Chris Beard, great coach. Michigan State, I saw a graphic today. Michigan State's 4 of their 5 starters started at Michigan State. So they've been playing a long time together, a lot of cohesiveness. Tom Izzo is a great coach. I think Chris Beard did a great job. Malik Dia, when he hits a step back 3-pointer, there ain't much he can do about it. And that was what was happening versus Iowa State. But I don't think that continues. I watched them fail to do that versus Auburn three times this year. So I think Michigan State will be able to advance to Elite Eight.
All right, next game, going to be a guaranteed SEC team in the Elite Eight. 3-seed Kentucky, who's 24-11, versus the 2-seed Tennessee, who's 29-7. It's a 6:39 p.m. tip on TBS or True TV in Indianapolis for the Midwest region. Who you got?
I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to take Tennessee right here. And I know Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, beat them twice. But this kind of reminds me a little bit of Auburn in 2019, where Kentucky beat them twice. And then they get to, it was the Elite Eight, and Auburn is able to beat Kentucky for the third time. I think Tennessee has a lot of experience. And I know I'm kind of going against the grain because, you know, Rick Barnes in late March has not been good. Not a good track record, but I like Tennessee in this one right here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Tennessee. I had Kentucky, but I think Tennessee's defense shows up. It's gonna be hard to beat somebody three times. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it's gonna be hard to beat somebody three times. And I'm gonna go with Barnes and his experience in March and his defense and to get it done. I think they knock off of Pope and, you know, first year team.
All right, on to the game that everybody will be talking about, especially the 5-seed Michigan 27-9 versus the 1-seed Auburn 30-5. It is 8:39 p.m. CBS South Region in Atlanta. Who are you going with, Jacob?
I got two words for you.
Are you wanting the Michigan's coach or the point guard?
Michigan's coach.
Dusty May.
I'm going to go to Michigan. I think Michigan's going to do it. I think you got Danny Wolf, Trey Donaldson, Danny Wolf with the experience of playing Auburn last year, and then Trey Donaldson of being on the Auburn team last year. You got Vladimir Golden. Right, you know, those two run a pick and roll at 7 foot, both of them. So I think it'll be tough to stop that. And I think one of those two will be able to stop Broom. You know, I do think that if they try to double team off of that, you can kick out to anybody and they'll knock a shot down for Auburn. So I think this is going to be a dogfight. It's essentially a home game for Auburn, which I think is going to help their case big time. So, but I'm going to go Michigan to get it done.
I'm going to go Auburn. I'm going to take Auburn right here.
You're a homer.
That's fine. If Jacob Holman is some, that is fine. But so I think Auburn will know what to do with Trey Donaldson. You know, the same thing can be said that Trey Donaldson knows what Auburn does and all that kind of stuff. But I think Auburn will know Trey Donaldson. Now, is Trey Donaldson the exact same player he was when he left? No, he's not, kind of thing. So I'm not really worried about Trey lighting this up. You talk about the two big men, specifically Danny Wolf. If I remember a lot from last year, Danny Wolf is not a high-rise, like, athletic big man. Somebody like Cliff or something like that. And in the past, that's what's slowed Janai down. Guys that are really playing above the rim. I don't think Danny Wolf plays as above the rim as much as some of the other guys that have kind of messed with Janai a little bit. So I think Janai should be able to get his. Now, granted, I saw Danny Wolf do it to Auburn last year. There's a lot of film now. You got a lot of learning experiences, and I think the guys will be motivated. Now, I will say, first off, Auburn wouldn't have beat Creighton if Auburn wouldn't have played with if they had played with the same intensity they did versus Alabama State. Creighton would have waxed them. If Auburn plays with the same intensity, I do think Auburn's one of the best teams in the country. But that's if they play with the same intensity. And because I saw it the whole game versus Creighton, I'm going to make the logical step that it will continue, and I'm going to take Auburn. I got to root with my boys and bleed a little orange and blue right here.
Yeah, hey, not a bad pick at all.
All right, and then the final game of the Sweet 16, 4-seed Purdue, 24-11 versus the 1-seed Houston. Houston is 32-4. It is 9:09, TBS, True TV, Midwest, and Indianapolis. I'm going to take Purdue. I take Purdue to beat Houston. Don't feel real confident in it, honestly, but here's my reason behind it. I don't think all one seeds are advancing. I don't think we'll see all one seeds in the Elite Eight, and this is the one that I had the most questions about. So therefore, give me National Player of the Year, Braden Smith, and they will beat Houston.
Yeah, so if this is right, you'll have an Elite Eight matchup from last year, but I'm going to go Houston. I think their defense, I think that's what's going to be able to do it. I think Crier might be able to stop Braden Smith. So we'll see what happens there. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if Purdue wins it, but I'm going to Houston. All right. The first day of the Elite Eight is March 29th. Will we have it as being the 2-seed Bama versus the 1-seed Duke in the East region? Who are you going with?
Duke. I'm going to go with Duke. I think they match up athletically with Alabama. I think Cooper Flagg's going to win Player of the Year. Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, he's going to be the number one draft pick. There's no doubt about that. I think Duke is just the most, like I said earlier, the most talented team in the country, and I'm going to take them. I can't put Bama in the Final Four. Give me Duke.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bama. Be a homer, whatever.
Whatever
you want to call it, I don't care. Holmes in my last name, so I'm going to go Alabama to win it. I think that the difference is going to be, you know, Alabama was there last year. Does that help? I don't know, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to go Alabama to upset Duke. All right, and then in the next game is the 10-seed Arkansas versus the 1-seed Florida and the West region in San Francisco. I'm going to go with Florida. I think Florida's probably playing like the best team in the country right now, so I'm going to go Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to take Florida as well. I think this is where Arkansas's quote-unquote Cinderella run comes to an end. I mean, Walter Clayton, that's all you need to say before you even get to the other guys. And I think Florida's built for it, so give me the Gators. All right, jumping into day two of the Elite Eight, March 30th. The first game. We don't have TV times. They won't have TV times. So the one that goes in order of our spreadsheet is number 2 Michigan State versus either number 5 Michigan, which was what Jacob has, or the 1-seed Auburn, which is what I have. It's the South region in Atlanta. What you going with, Jacob?
I'm
going
to go Michigan State. I think Michigan State makes it to the Final Four. This team's really good. Jace Richardson is really good. So I'm going to go with Michigan State to advance.
I'm going to take Michigan State as well. I think this is where Auburn season. Tom Izzo, it's hard to pick a man. And I definitely could see Auburn beat Michigan State. And maybe I'm trying to reverse psychology here. I just think Michigan State's going to get the job done. So give me Auburn season to end in the Elite Eight, and I'll take Michigan State. All right, and then the final game of second weekend is the 2-seed Tennessee versus the 1-seed Houston or the 4-seed Purdue, Midwest, and Indianapolis. I'm going to take Tennessee. And I know, Rick Barnes in March. I said this so many times on the podcast. I think he kicks the door in right here. I've watched Purdue in person. I watched them when they played Alabama, watched them play a few times, watched them when they played High Point. I think Tennessee can match up with them. I think they can slow down Kaufman Wren down low, and I think Ziegler can guard Braden Smith. As much as I, you know, say Braden Z flops and all that, he does play good defense, and I think he can lock Braden Smith up, and I think Mayshak down low will handle some other Purdue's guys. So give me Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tennessee to advance to the Final Four. Would be one of the most disgusting Final Fours ever with Alabama versus Tennessee. That's what I would have it in the Final Four game one or before the championship game. So that'd be absolutely disgusting. A lot of hate. Yeah, a lot of hate, and I think Bama would, you know, never know.
You know, we're sitting here, and it's very possible that we can
throw in every game.
But it's also very possible that it's all SEC.
Yeah.
It is very possible that it is the Final Four from the SEC tournament right now, with Bama beating Duke, Florida beating Arkansas. Well, we know one team will be there, so at least one SEC team will be represented. But, well, that's not true either, because Texas Tech could win. But based on I mean, it's very possible we have Alabama, Florida, Auburn, and Tennessee. So Auburn and Bama, it's possible that we're in the champion. Well, we're recording this next week, but those teams are playing. And by far, I'm just going to put it out there. If that's the case, I'm picking Auburn and I'm picking Alabama, and then I'm going to take Auburn in the national championship game.
And I'll pick the same thing, go Bama.
And I expect you to do the same thing and go Bama, and we'll go get in that camera of yours, and we'll drive to San Antonio.
Dude, I'm going to be in San Antonio if Alabama makes it, regardless. I'm going. But, you know, it's going to be – I don't know what I would do if that happened. Man, I think regardless, either fan base would be insufferable if they win it, especially if they beat the other one to win it. So,
oh, my God. You couldn't tell anyone anything ever again.
No.
We'll be 20 years from now, and both of our programs will probably be in the dumpster because that's how it goes, kind of thing. And we'll have another 48-36 win or something like that in basketball. And everybody will, and I'll be like, I don't care, because you remember in 2025 when Alabama beat Auburn or Auburn beat Alabama in the national championship game, nobody will care about anything ever again.
So, you know, the fact that we just talked about this means that Alabama and Auburn are both going to lose in the Sweet 16.
That's fair.
So, we jumped the gun, but that's all right. We let some guys dream, because we've
earned it.
Yeah, as much as we've had to go through being fans of these programs, we've earned it. So, but,
and if it don't happen, we'll be in Auburn, Alabama, watching the Tide and Auburn playing Iron Bowl baseball.
I know. Could you imagine, dude? National championship. Okay, yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Alabama, Auburn baseball, and then you'd have Monday night of basketball.
And here's exactly what I'm going to tell you what's happened. Even if Alabama wins the national championship in basketball, I'm going to say, I always said baseball is the best sport if Auburn wins, and I'm going to pull that up.
What if, you know, imagine if you. Good Lord, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. So that's going to wrap up I don't even know what episode it is. Episode 14 of season 6 of It Just Means Less. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.